The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
We are getting on here with day four wins. Every time we get on the COFA Sports Digital Network, of course, along with Duncan, man, we greatly appreciate their time and everything they do to get us on and give us a great show. Also, of course, on Tony Curry Radio. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel. We are live every Tuesday and Friday mornings right around 10 o'clock Central Time. It's 11 o'clock Eastern Time. I've got a monster show for you today. Lots of college football to get into in the first half of the show. Of course, some SEC twist, big time Arkansas Ole Miss. We got Florida LSU. We got Georgia Tennessee. An interesting game between Vandy and South Carolina. We'll explain. Normally, we wouldn't talk about that. We're going to have our plays. And, of course, then we get into the pros. We got the Chargers and the Raiders. And we do have the beat writer, the man who's inside the locker room just about for everything they do, your Las Vegas Raiders man, Case Kiefer, who's up in the upper left-hand corner. Also, of course, the Las Vegas Sun chief editor, Kai Gregory, right below him. He's been all over handicapping for years and years and years. He's a master professional at it. And Kip Kiefer, who, of course, is executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. He's right below me. I'm Tony Curry. Been doing sports radio, ESPN, for about 30 years. We'll get into it. Gentlemen, how are we doing today? Get ready for another weekend of a great football. I do want to say, and I said something on our show the other day, can we just take a moment of silence and just appreciate the moment we're in? Because we're already into week three of college. It's going to be week two of the NFL. And before you know it, we're going to be in like week eight or nine, and it's going to be over already. And I hate that. So let's just enjoy the moment, the time we're into right now. But how y'all doing?
Ready to roll.
All right. Good. Case, you good?
Yep. Ready to
go. Fantastic. It's going to be an interesting weekend. A lot of what we call about smelly fishes. We've got that Georgia Tech Clemson game. I've got a ton of games I want to ask you guys about. And, of course, the K brothers know what they're talking about when it comes to picking games against the Lions. I'm going to start off with them smelly fish. Let's start off right there. I see this game as a Clemson top five team playing a Georgia Tech squad that, quite frankly, every single year seems to be like a mosquito. They're just a pain in the ass. They run that weird offense. They either do really well against you or really bad against you, and they're only catching three against a team that I've got winning the national championship. How far am I off, Case Kiefer?
I'm a little surprised by the movement, too, with you, but this is about what I made it. I just feel like what a change in perception, because coming into the season, I think we talked about it all the time. A lot more people were aligned with you. They were saying Clemson's, you know, back to their national championship form, one of the best teams in the nation. And I was largely a seller. I was saying, I don't really like this team. I think there's a lot of red flags. I'm not the biggest Cade Klubnik guy. And even that being said, coming from that perspective, I'm surprised this has gotten all the way to a flat field goal. I bet Georgia Tech is closer to a touchdown. I made the line right around three, probably a little bit more than three. I'd probably say like 3.25, which means a juice three, like minus 120. But I mean, right now you can lay three with Clemson, and that's just not something I ever foresaw with how much hype this team had coming into the season. But I can't say it's wrong. It's right about where I think the line should be. So if I had to say, I think it's a good correction. But you could certainly make the case that it's a buy low opportunity on the Tigers.
And Kip, you're a big eyes on guy too. It's interesting because we're into the third week, and you like to think that after a couple of games, you've got an idea of what a team actually looks like. Clemson being down 16-0 against Troy, I don't care who you're playing. You don't expect a team that's vying for a national title in their year to be down 16-0 to anyone, including Troy. And I know a lot of people are like, well, maybe they're holding on to their book. Well, they probably need to start looking a little deeper into their playbook because their offensive play calling has been lousy so far.
Yeah, it's a little subpar, and I echo what Kay said, and I'm not jumping on a staggering entity a couple weeks of the season, because I said before the season I really respect the Clemson program and what they've accomplished, but I just thought there was too much preseason hype there, and everybody was leaning on the same premise. They've got all this production back from last year's team. I didn't think last year's Clemson team was very good. They had four losses for the season. The two legitimate opponents they played that were national championship contenders, which is the classification they're supposed to be in, they got absolutely slaughtered. I just don't think Klubnik is an elite quarterback. I've seen him play well on a good team with good personnel around him, but I really needed to see him take another step. So it was just kind of, I'll believe it when I see it coming into the season. And I rose the red flag a couple of weeks ago on that third week, because I said even the ACC games they got on the road at Georgia Tech, at Louisville, and I thought maybe North Carolina might be a little more presentable, but they got a Chapel Hill later this year as well. That wasn't a real easy slate. And, you know, I guess looking at the teams from a knee-jerk reaction, you would say Clemson is in a different classification than Georgia Tech. But Tech under Brent Key, I thought, was a team that was really kind of on the move up. And third week in Atlanta, an 11 o'clock game, I just thought it might be a tough spot for Clemson. But like everybody else, I thought they'd be a 6.5 or 7 point favorite. Obviously, there's a lot of people on that bandwagon now that Georgia Tech is a legitimate team. And we'll see. Haynes King, an experienced quarterback. They beat Miami at home last year and really helped derail their playoff chances. So that's kind of how we've arrived at this point. If Dabo can rally the troops and get them to play like a lot of people expected them to play, then maybe they'll have a walkover here in a really economical line situation. But I think this is going to be a highly competitive game start to finish.
No, I think you're probably right, and I hate to admit it, because I've got that over 9.5 minus the monster juice of them winning 10. If they lose this game, they got to win out. And I don't like my chances with them only being a 3-point favorite on the road against Georgia. And I know Georgia Tech again, but we're talking Dabo Swinney here. Guys won a couple national titles. I mean, he knows these pitfalls. He knows these games. It's not like anything's going to come up and bite him in the ass. So he knows exactly what he's getting himself into. And, yes, he reads the newspapers as well. So that should be interesting. Another game is sitting right around 3. Now it's actually up to 4. I've got it as one of my plays, and I absolutely love the side in this. Georgia, Tennessee. Of course, Georgia has won 8 games in a row. The last 4 games, Georgia's beaten Tennessee by an aggregate of 34-14. They have owned Tennessee, should I say, smart as own Josh Heupel the last 4 games anyway. But pretty amazing game. That line only 4. Case for me, just based on what I've seen from Georgia, I think they've been holding on to their playbook. I don't think they've let anyone see anything. They've only given up 13 points defensively speaking for the entire season. Tennessee's only scored 20 or more points the last 6 games against Tennessee. They've always had an issue. Even when lights out, they've got a good explosive offense. And you can certainly make an argument this year their offense looks pretty good.
Yeah, and so we've seen this number come back Georgia's way. I think last time we talked on Tuesday, I was right after it had touched 3, and I probably would have guessed then there was a better chance it got back to 3 than climbed back up, but there's some 4.5s this morning. Sounds like we might be on opposite sides, because I do like Tennessee at more than a field goal. I mean, if you just want to do it the most basic narrative angle, I mean, how many of these inexperienced quarterbacks that you're unsure about have struggled in their first road start? And I hate that I always have to be so negative, because I grew up a Georgia fan and still root for him, but I'm just not a big Gunnar Stockton guy. Going into Neyland, I think this game's going to be a crazy environment. And I don't think the talent discrepancy, I've heard so many people that are picking Georgia. If you're picking Georgia, I like what you said. You're going with it, that they've been, you know, just being super vanilla. They haven't shown what they're about. I totally get that if you're going Georgia, but I put like little to no stock in the history, and they've beat them so many times in Tennessee. And I feel like the talent personnel was so much bigger gap then. I've been impressed with Tennessee overall. And I know Kai pointed out they have some injuries, especially in the secondary. I mean, Georgia never seems to throw deep or really have anything creative downfield. So that scares me a little bit less in that regard. And Georgia has injuries too. I mean, their offensive line seems like it's a sieve right now. So I just think this is a little more even matchup than usual, and a home team getting more than a field goal. That's the side I jumped on.
Yeah. And again, I certainly understand from a gambling standpoint, because trends are trends. And whenever someone says, well, you know, whenever this guy is coaching this team, they're 27-1 on Thursday nights when it rains and blah, blah, blah. And I get that. But you do want to look at the proclivity and look at a past experience and go, okay, when they play in this particular situation, what does it look like? And the fact of the matter is Georgia's beaten them 8-9 times. And at the same time, I know how bad it feels for Tennessee, because when Alabama goes on those runs against Tennessee, it just sucks to live in Knoxville. It just does. When Alabama's beating you year in and year out, when they finally get a victory, it is celebration time for a couple of months. Campus game is going to be obviously telling us a lot about where the SEC is. Before we get into the Florida LSU game, Georgia, Tennessee, where do you see it land?
Well, you know, I I've watched Georgia-Tennessee games for a lot longer than I'm going to admit here publicly. I go all the way back to the Georgia last-second touchdown caught by the tailback, or actually the fullback, Haynes, sneaking out of the backfield from David Green in the early 90s. That was the famous Larry Munson call. We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and crushed their nose. One of the most famous original creative accounts of a game of all time. So I've seen them all. I've seen Tennessee fling it up for grabs on the last play of the game. The last time they beat Georgia, as a matter of fact, I guess that was 2016, the infamous Hail Mary that got batted around in the air, and the Tennessee guy right amongst five Georgia defenders comes down with it. I mean, this is a fierce rivalry. It's one of those games for Georgia. Georgia's traditional rivals, of course, are Georgia Tech, but that hasn't really been pertinent until last year's 8 overtime game. Another symbol that Georgia Tech was starting to get fed up with being a little sister. But Georgia Florida is the game for Georgia fans every year. It's the game they point at. But Georgia has so many of these other quote rivals. Tennessee, South Carolina, Auburn, all the three of those schools consider Georgia, Auburn not so much because of Alabama, but there's a lot of teams that Georgia play that Georgia's, you know, like the team that they want to beat most, especially in the Kirby Smart era. So I think Tennessee is more jacked up traditionally for this game than Georgia really is. And the last couple of years, Tennessee had a good chance, caught Georgia in a real vulnerable spot last year where everybody was hurt. Tennessee was higher ranked going into Athens, if you recall. And Georgia was just coming off a thrashing the week before, the worst defeat of the Kirby Smart era, where Ole Miss just beat them up one side and down the other. And Georgia still rallied in that game, getting behind 10-0, and eventually overtook the Volunteers to win the game. And Tennessee still went to the playoffs, but they weren't very significant after that, as Georgia exposed that they were not a super team. So there's a lot of pent-up emotion here. I think Case is right. I think the atmosphere, I think the Tennessee fans might sense a little trickle of blood in the water. So I think you're going to get Tennessee come out just completely full of vigor and maybe get to the lead. And they've done that a lot of the times in this 8-game losing streak. Georgia kind of rights the ship and gets things together. I don't know personnel-wise if Georgia's that team this year. On their schedule, this is really the most difficult road game they have in week 3. They play a lot of really good teams, but they play all those in Athens where they have not lost in – I don't know what the number is, but it's they have not lost at home since 2018. So I think this is a tough spot. We're going to learn a lot about both these teams. And Case mentioned Tennessee's defense really banged up. Both corners are out. I think Georgia has the receivers to go deep with Noah Thomas and Malachi Branch.
And they invested a lot in the offseason in their wide receiver core. I mean, and they needed to with the loss of their quarterback. As a Georgia fan, if I were a Georgia fan, I just want to see what Gunnar Stockton's all about. And you mentioned Case, we have not seen him enough, but I want to see some flares of brilliance from him against that secondary this weekend.
Yeah, he needs to throw it deep. He had a couple of nice deep balls in the Notre Dame game that they lost. I called him Malachi Branch. That's wrong. He has some other biblical name, Case. Zachariah.
Jesus, get it together, man.
I have got to get back and study my theology. But Zachariah Branch is a weapon, and they've used him underneath a little bit. But it is puzzling in the first couple games. Georgia has not tried to throw the ball down the field. And I don't think Stockton has limited arms strength. That I just maybe there is a little possum being played there. So I'm not going to make a pick on this game. I have a little emotional skin in the game from growing up in Atlanta and being a Georgia guy. But I think it might be a tough spot. I'm not going to be shocked if the Volunteers somehow break the streak here.
Speaking of picking ball games, I got a 24-point dog winning outright this
Unbelievable.
And I'm feeling better and better about it. As a matter of fact, that line went down to 21.5. Now it's back up at 24. So the late money's coming in, so we'll see what happens. We'll give you those plays. And all of our plays, including the National Football League, Chargers at Raiders. We got the Eagles only giving up 1.5 at the Chiefs, which is an interesting game. Bills, are they on upset alert, giving up 6.5? We got a ton of 3.5s, 4s, 6.5s, 7s, 7.5s. Another one is Florida-LSU case. And, of course, LSU and Brian Kelly giving up just a touchdown and finally hit that magic line of 7. Florida does not look good against South Florida. I think South Florida comes down to reality against Miami. We'll get into that game in a second. But first, let's look at the SEC twist between LSU and Florida. Do you give up a touchdown?
Yeah, that's another one. I'm kind of surprised we got all the way to 7. You know, right now I'd say LSU is the only way you could look, even though I know Florida has some guys coming back, and I mean, they probably didn't deserve – they definitely deserved to be scared last week against South Florida, but I think there were some mistakes they made. They arguably didn't deserve to lose, and you could say, you know, this is a buy-low spot for them. So I get it. I just – I don't know. I've been really high on LSU dating back to the spring, and I was high on Florida too. I played over Florida win total, which isn't looking very good now, to say the least, but – I don't know. Florida, to me, it was always based on potential, and I just feel like we haven't seen it yet. I trust LSU a lot more. I know us; we've seen some of their prices go up a little bit after last week where they, I guess, semi-struggled with Louisiana Tech or just didn't do much. To me, I don't know. That goes back to the Georgia discussion we were having. I feel like they were keeping it vanilla and just trying to get out of there. I think that Clemson performance was pretty impressive, and it's just how short of a memory it is. I feel like we're already discounting that or forgetting that. And the final score doesn't make it look as dominant as it was. I think underlyingly they won by more than a touchdown against Clemson. You know, I've had the same concerns I always bring up with LSU, that their running game hasn't really gotten going. The offensive line hasn't looked great. But I came into the year saying that I thought Garrett Nussmeier was the best quarterback in the nation. If there's a guy I have to lean on, I don't mind it being him. If home field is what it's all cracked up to be in Death Valley at night, I feel like they should beat Florida by a touchdown.
No, and I think this game is huge for LSU, because if Brian Kelly's going to win a national title, this may be his best crew he's had in quite some time. And it starts with that quarterback. I want to move around to that South Florida-Miami game. It's not an SEC twist for sure, but last year Miami favored by 16.5. They win by 35, and of course they do that on the road. Now they're hosting the Bulls, who obviously are not going to surprise anyone anymore, Kip. They're 17.5, and something tells me about that 17.5 number. That number is, there's Kai, and of course Kai's going to try to join us here in a second. We're having some technical difficulties. We'll get back to the Tennessee-Georgia game in a minute if we can hold him on. But that South Florida-Miami game, something tells me that South Florida wakes up from their wonderful dream they've had the first 2 weeks of the season against the Miami Hurricanes this weekend. What do you got, Kip?
Yeah, I mean, I never like when you play two major opponents in a row on the road back-to-back weeks. I always think that's a big negative. It's not a long trip from Tampa to Miami, of course, and you go across one of Case's favorite roads in the country, Alligator Alley. When Case was a younger, he was looking out the window the whole time. He was hoping to see a gator or a Florida Black Panther, and I said, "Well, this is an interstate. We're probably not going to see any wildlife," but it was okay to hope. But anyway, that trek down there for them is not a long geographic visit. But yeah, I really don't think that 2 weeks in a row they have a legitimate chance to pull another shocker. But 17.5 is an awful lot of points. And I just, the Mario Cristobal factor always looms large for me with Miami. I'm not going to be a bit surprised. If I had to bet the game, I would take the points, but I don't think they have any chance to win.
I'm not laying the points either, and I'm not playing it, but this is one of those games where it does look too large, and usually when it looks too large, Miami will win by 21. What do you think, Case?
This is one I kind of have the same feeling we talked about earlier in the week. It's right about what I made it. I can't really give this as an original thought because someone pointed it out to me, and I said, wow, I really liked it, and I bet it. So I do have a bet on this game. I bet Miami -9.5 in the first half. This way you kind of miss the crystal ball into game factor.
Yeah,
you
miss, man, the garbage
line. Yeah. I do think South Florida has a lot of pride and will keep coming, but I mean, I'm kind of having to talk myself down. I'm so high on this Miami team. I've said it time and time again. I had one concern about them, their receivers. Their receivers have looked outstanding. I just think the rest of their roster is like an NFL roster. They have professionals at every level. And if this Carson Beck renaissance, it's not even really a renaissance. I think that I think the guy was actually underrated at the end of last year.
Yeah,
and I wasn't
Georgia won the
fan.
SEC last year.
Yeah, I just feel like everything's in place with Miami. I think even South Florida can lose this game and still be – they're the co-favorite to make the playoff now from the group of five. Them and Tulane are both plus 450. I think they even lose this game and make it respectable. They're still the favorite to get that playoff spot as long as they win the AAC. But, guys, just – I mean, they've played the toughest schedule in the nation. Kyer Kipp said that on Tuesday, and I agree. Now you throw a team that I think – I honestly probably have Miami as, like, a fringe top five team in the nation right now. You throw that after Boise State and Florida. Jeez. This is a tough spot of all spots. See, I went Miami minus 9.5 in the first half.
It is incredible that we're talking about Georgia having a bad year and they won the SEC. It really is. That should tell you back in SEC land where it is. Let's get that Georgia-Tennessee line back up.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Let's get back to Georgia giving a 4 to Tennessee because he is wearing the Tennessee orange. And, of course, he mentioned the last four games, an aggregate score of 34-14. Josh Heupel has been owned by Kirby Smart. Does he bite back this year, Kai Gregory?
I don't like the matchup for Tennessee, especially knowing both two starting corners are out. It looks like Moy on the defensive line is going to be out. You got three other defensive linemen banged up. Joseph can't do it all on his own. Georgia has a history of playing down for a couple of weeks, especially before they play Tennessee. And I can't see Tennessee keeping it within a touchdown. If they keep it within 10, I'd be happy. I've already bet Georgia. I got them at 3. At 4, I would still take them. I would probably take Georgia up to 7 or more. I just don't think Tennessee's there yet. The offensive line, David Sanders is going to be his very first start at left tackle. Not sure how that's going to work out for him. I would stay with Georgia, but y'all aren't getting me off the South Florida bandwagon. Brown is legit. I love the way Alex Golish has that team playing. I've already played the 17.5 and after sitting here talking, y'all are not talking me out of it. Until I get bit, I'm sticking with South Florida.
There you go, man. There's no reason to do that. 2-0 against the spread so far this year, and there's no reason but to hop off for sure. Alabama is hosting Wisconsin, and this is amazing to me. I saw this. This is only the second time in history that Alabama's hosted a Big Ten school at Bryant-Denny.
That's interesting.
Isn't that crazy? Last time was 15 years ago against Penn State in 2010. Yep. They played a lot of neutral site games, a lot of bowl games, but they have never hosted outside that Penn State game, a Big Ten team in Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin comes in, of course, last year they did the home-at-home, and Alabama won 42-10. They won by 32.
And it wasn't that close. Yeah.
No, and Alabama right now holds a record. This is one of these Kalen DeBoer things where if he loses this record, he's going to get fired for it because they've won 83 straight at home against unranked opponents. That's the longest streak in the last 30 years. And now, of course, you come in here with Billy Edwards, who is out Wisconsin. In comes Danny O'Neill. So they're banged up on both sides of the ball. And here comes that big 3-touchdown favorite. Casey, who do you like in the big ball games? I mean, I'm assuming that most of us here, and I know a lot of us on the show, have Alabama in a bloodbath.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of second-guessing it. Luckily, it wasn't a bigger bet, but I did take some Wisconsin plus 21 just based on numbers alone. I had this game come out 18.5, but this is one where the more I think about it, I'm wondering if I just haven't adjusted enough for losing their quarterback. I don't think Danny O'Neill has any chance if they go down. If Alabama goes up big early, I just feel I give Wisconsin little chance of keeping it close there. I mean, I wasn't the biggest Billy Edwards guy, but at least he gives you something. It just seems like O'Neill's so green and can't really generate anything explosive or downfield. What I like about Wisconsin is they kind of have a lot of the attributes you'd look for in an underdog. They're going to run down the play clock. They're going to try to make the game slower. They're just going to try to get 4 yards at a time. And Alabama's run defense, as much as they have the personnel, it hasn't been great. Although a lot of their troubles dating back even to last year were on the road, maybe they play better at home. So I bet Wisconsin plus 21 just because I couldn't get the number that high, and I thought that's kind of a key number. I'm kind of regretting it now. If it was today, I think it still is at 21. It would probably be a pass, but I do see a scenario where Wisconsin could keep it close, but I have a hard time seeing they have any chance of the upset.
Kip, our television show, The Starting Lineup, airs every single Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock. You can also watch that on our YouTube channel, like K4 Wins. Of course, that's our website we go to as well. But The Starting Lineup, Kai Gregory, of course, gave a couple plays in there over Texas Tech, 61, and also likes the Oregon Ducks, minus the 27. We'll get some more of his plays a little bit later on, some NFL stuff as well. But the legend, he loved himself some Alabama. He's a homer. I don't know if he's ever gone against Alabama, but he also said
homer?
He can fight. He can find it in his brother, too. Whenever the legend gets together with his brother, you don't know what the hell they're going to come up with. And quite frankly, his brother's a hell of a lot better picker than the legend is. So if he's confiding in his brother, they love Alabama minus the 21. Do you?
I don't love it, but I don't know how you have much choice to go the other way. Case mentioned it on Tuesday on the show, how Luke Fickell, who I thought was a good hire at Wisconsin, I thought he would go up there and get that program restored to where they were before. And they weren't world beaters, but they were always a team that you knew was going to come to play every week. And you know, they were never an easy game for anybody in the Big Ten or outside the conference. That has really changed in the last couple of years. And Fickell last year went up there with the idea of them playing a faster offense, filling the football, the Madison skies with footballs. And it's just not the personality of that team and the kind of players mm-hmm. they recruit. It was an absolute catastrophe. Now, as Case just mentioned, they're back to pound and ground or it's ground and pound. I got to say it right. And going back to kind of the Barry Alvarez approach of trying to win games 10-9. And I don't see that in Tuscaloosa having any chance to succeed. Can they cover the number? Sure. 21.5 is an awful lot. I don't think Ty Simpson's going to start 17 for 17. The yellow school buses from Monroe, Louisiana are not going to be in the parking lot. I think Wisconsin's going to roll up into some luxury cruisers. But the bottom line is, if I had to bet the game, I think Alabama is probably going to be in a position to, I think I said it last show, I think Alabama will be ahead 34-14, 34-10, and maybe tack that late score on to put it over the top. So I can't take Wisconsin in the points until I see a competitive effort under the Fickell administration, which I really haven't seen against any good team so far. They did play Oregon tough last year at home late in the season. That's been his shining moment to date, but I just don't like the personnel on this team, and Alabama at home is a juggernaut.
By the way, we talked about those 83 straight wins, which is by far the longest. It's 19 games longer than the second longest streak that Boise State had over the last 30 years. That last loss was against La Monroe, that team, of course, that Alabama just shellacked this past weekend, 73-0. Any thoughts on this, Kai? I know you're we're big time in the SEC, but any thoughts on Alabama? Give it to 21. We're obviously doing a show, and the majority of us in here in Birmingham, Alabama, so a lot of local folks who watch our show are very interested in that. Probably not going to get to the Auburn game or UAB day, but we got some pro action coming up. Any thoughts on the Alabama game before we move on?
You mentioned it. UAB giving somebody 11 points. Wow. I like Alabama.
I've got a thought on that, by the way.
I like Alabama in the first half. I think they're going to jump out on them, minus the 12.5. I've already played that. Hey, we were 14-6 last weekend here. Posted plays, 14-6, so hop on board. And, by the way, I don't know if we've talked about it. We do have a Facebook page where we kind of get some interaction going on Saturday. K4 Wins is the name of the Facebook page also. But we had some good interaction last week, kept up with the games all throughout the day. You can go on our Facebook page and look at it. You can see where we talked about it and updated, you know, what we were hitting. But I think Alabama's going to cover the 12.5 in the first half. I really like that play. Seems to be a stronger play to me than the 21. But if I'm going to play the game at all, I'm laying 21.
You brought up a UAB. I will say that I played the over 53 when it came out. I pulled a case. I'm like, I'm jumping on this line big time because already up to 57.5. So everyone's playing that over. And it's hard to do that when you're playing an Akron squad who has not scored a point yet this year. They've been outscored 78-0 to Wisconsin, or I'm sorry, Nebraska and Wyoming. They lost 68-0 in one game. Some team tout, I don't know what it was. I saw something that actually picked Akron to cover the spread against Nebraska. They were talking about it was one of the worst losses they ever had. They thought they put some points up. But I do think against this defense, Akron can put up 14, and if they do, I like UAB to go over that that total. So I'm going to probably keep that streak alive just playing the overs. I don't know if they're going to cover the 11.5. This will be the only chance this year that UAB gets a chance at a blowout. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, the Auburn Tigers taking on those South Alabama Jags. We're going to see what happens with that as well. We got some other interesting games. Arkansas-Ole Miss case. Ole Miss coming off that tough game against Kentucky. They always know they're going to play a tough game against Kentucky. They don't get the spread win, but they did get a win. They're sitting there at 2-0. And here come those Arkansas Razorbacks only catching 6.5. Smelly fish?
Well, there's two teams in the SEC that I think are widely considered somewhat contenders that the market just absolutely hates. Every week there's money coming in against South Carolina and Ole Miss. Coming into the season, I was higher on Ole Miss, lower on South Carolina. But, man, just the how much both these teams get bet against in everything, whether it's futures, game by game, I feel like it moves too much every week. However, this is one I would not get involved in. I don't know how much it's been covered down there, but really the whispers and things are that Austin Simmons is actually hurt, that he's been walking around campus in a walking boot. I mean, if he doesn't play, I forget what the backup's name is, but a complete unknown. You don't know what they're going to do there. And I was not high on Arkansas coming into the season, but I mean, you kind of have to tip your cap a little bit and say this Bobby Petrino, Taylen Green marriage has just worked. I mean, they score points. So, you know, at 6.5 now, just numbers wise, it would tell me to play Ole Miss, although every single game, or I mean, they've only played two games, but both games this year, I've thought the market's gone too far against Ole Miss, but just with the injury concern, I'm probably just going to pass. And if this does turn into a shootout, I mean, as much as I think Kiffin's a good play caller and I trust him offensively, I mean, it's kind of tough to beat what Petrino and Green have right now. I know they've played no one, but yeah, that's just a lot of me talking to say I'm not getting involved here. I'm a little bit worried about Simmons' health status.
Yeah, another interesting line, too, and you guys can jump around wherever you're at. If I'm moving on from a game you want to talk about, certainly get into. We're talking about Vandy and South Carolina. Normally, this would not be a game I'd even look at, but I got South Carolina early in the season going to the playoffs. They missed it by one game, and they only given up 3.5 at home against a Vanderbilt squad that used to be kind of a joke, Kip. This year, not so much.
Yeah, not a joke anymore. Clark Lee has done the impossible, because I was an advocate a couple of years ago. Vanderbilt needs to get booted out of the conference for being a non-competitive entity. Of course, the counter arguments were, well, they're so good in a lot of the other sports like baseball.
They're smart.
Exactly. They produce a lot of doctors, but that really isn't a criteria when your football team is an absolute disgrace. But Clark Lee has been a miracle worker, and Diego Pavia has brought a culture to that team that we have not seen. That win at Virginia Tech last week was really eye-opening for me.
It was.
That being said, this is their second game in a row on the road. It's at South Carolina. Vanderbilt, when they were riding high last year, hosted South Carolina and got waxed. The Gamecocks came in there and beat them like a drum. So I still think there's some talent disparity. I don't know what the real problem so far. South Carolina's looked a little sluggish in their first couple games. You know, and I mentioned on Tuesday, this is one of the only games in the country where you're looking at a matchup in week three where both these teams have a common opponent. They both played Virginia Tech. Of course, the neutral field for South Carolina, they won in kind of a grinded-out fashion. The game was never decided until, you know, midway through the fourth quarter. And Vanderbilt went up there and beat them 31-0 in the second half in Blacksburg last Saturday. So the Vanderbilt win head-to-head against Virginia Tech, a lot more impressive. So from that standpoint, you say Vandy has a chance, but second game in a row on the road, South Carolina, you know, has better personnel. I think the line is really manageable there, so I got to take South Carolina here to bring Vanderbilt back down to earth.
I was going to play South Carolina, but I don't want to play South Carolina because you guys know I got South Carolina going to the playoffs, but I totally agree with you. This is a game where Lenore Sellers, one of the few guys in the league that's actually a returning quarterback, albeit he only played five games last year. This is a game where he can be a game manager, he can be a slinger, he can be whatever. Just don't lose the football game. You are the leader of this football team. We're at home. We got a team that we should beat only by 3.5 points. Get it done in South Carolina. I'll be on their way. If they can get an impressive win here and win by 10 or 14, they may be for real. Maybe I'll feel a little bit better about going coast to coast and maybe perhaps making one of those 12 spots. All right, let's get around. Do you have something to say, Case?
I'm just saying, if they win, I hope you're right. It's now painted three across the board. I would have to get involved with South Carolina here. I know Kip will disagree with this one. He hates this team. But if they win by 10 or 14, I'm going to be sitting here on Sunday ready to fire on Missouri, because I think Missouri will clean their clock next week in Columbia. I hope you're right.
I love it. Okay, well, I hope we're both right in it. That works for me, brother. It works for me. All right, let's go around the horn before we get in the National Football League. By the way, unders 12-4. Man, I'm so unhappy I didn't play, because I love overs in the National Football League. I love overs, and I didn't play squat this past week. I think I had the Bengals over 47, and you saw where that landed. It landed at 33. I lost that game. 12-4 unders. Do the overs come back? We'll find out from a man who's right there in the backyard of one of the finest NFL squads in the Las Vegas Raiders in just a few seconds. Let's go around the horn. Give me two or three of your best plays. Kai, we'll start with you.
I think, and I don't know if y'all talked about it. Sorry, I was having internet issues apparently. I don't know if y'all talked about games tonight. I think New Mexico is going to come out with a heavy dose of Humphreys against UNLV.
I agree.
Against UCLA. And I don't trust Nico at all. I think that New Mexico's played better in their two games than UCLA has. This line at 15.5, I mean, if I can get two touchdowns against UCLA, they're soft up the middle. I think I saw the stat of UNLV, Utah converted 12 of 14 third down conversions, and New Mexico's coming in to run it. I really like them tonight. You know, I've been all over Oregon, but they got Oregon State next week, rivalry game, and they're playing at 9 o'clock Oregon time tomorrow. I said that to say Oregon be huge. I just think they destroy them. Looking through some of the others, I really love a ton of team totals. I still love that Texas Tech game. No, I don't know if y'all talk about it. Man, you know, Drink, that douche canoosh that he is, loves to run it up. They got UNLV coming in. I mean, UL Lafayette coming in. I've got UNLV on the brain. Sorry. They got UL Lafayette coming in this week, minus 27. There's something there I think everybody should look at. And a huge line move, which I wanted to ask Case about this. Appalachian State and Southern Miss, it opened at a pick, and now Appalachian State's minus 3.5. That's a huge line move in 2 days.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I think I bet Southern Miss. Let's see. I think I bet 2.5. I thought that was crazy. It's even weirder because App in their first game against Charlotte, I don't know if you remember, but the game, I think it opened like 10 and they got totally steamed against. I think I might have close to like 5 or 4.5. Now they killed Charlotte, but it's just one game. I don't really like their new coach. I think defensively they have some holes. So maybe there's an injury I'm missing on Southern Miss. That'd be the one thing that scares me, especially now through the three. But I bet Southern Miss at a worse number. So I'm on the Golden Eagles, but it seems like I'm missing something based on the line movement.
Tony, did you talk about it's your word. I don't know if I've ever heard it from anybody else before you coined it years ago. The smelly fish.
Yeah,
of the LSU Florida game.
We did. We actually talked about that, and it finally made it up in that line of seven. We talked about the 3.5s, the 4s, the 2.5s. Not too many 2.5s, but 6.5, 7.5 is a lot of those. So normally you kind of kick back, and they're going to fall on those lines. But yes, we certainly did talk about that Florida LSU game minus 7.
Kai is certainly welcome in the fish market to give his take on that.
Absolutely. We talked about the Georgia Tennessee game being kind of a smelly fish. And there's a ton of smelly fishes, by the way, in the National Football League, which we'll get to in just a second. Kip, give me your two or three best plays you got going in college football this weekend.
Well, I differ a little bit, even if Simmons is banged up. I just happened, of course, I was out of town last week, and I didn't get to see a lot of games from start to finish. But the SEC Network does this documentary kind of show every week where they show preparations for both teams, and then they show the game highlights and kind of narrate. And I just happened after I don't remember how the circumstances, but the game that was featured last week was the Kentucky Ole Miss game. And so I really got to see the game pretty much unfold in this documentary and really was impressed with Ole Miss's ability to just line up and run the ball. Kentucky, always in recent years, known as a pretty stout front and defense. And that's how Ole Miss won that game. I had not heard that Simmons the rumor that he's potentially injured. He didn't play particularly well in the game, but I was just impressed with Ole Miss's ability to kind of pound the Kentucky front, and when they really had to have it in a competitive game, that's how they asserted themselves and pulled away. So was real impressed with that. And also Ole Miss's defensive effort, although against Kentucky, that's not saying much against the legendary Zach Calzada, who's been playing college football since the 1980s. But the bottom line is I like this game for Ole Miss in Oxford. It's the it's their second SEC game. They're the only team in the league with a win in the SEC standings. And I just don't buy Arkansas. I know Case is right about, and I was very high on Traylon Green coming into the year, and he and Petrino do have it going on. But they've played two games at home against Alabama A&M, which is a low grade program. I think they're in the SWAC or
great
something.
Great band. They have a great band.
Yeah, well, yeah. The band definitely won the competition at halftime.
Yeah, they got a great band, yeah.
But then they beat, and you mentioned it on Tuesday, they beat Arkansas State at home. And Arkansas State had the audacity to ask for a home-and-home series. I don't think you're going to see the Razorbacks in Jonesboro anytime soon, but you are going to see them in Oxford this week. And I just think this is the kind of game Ole Miss clearly has the talent edge on Arkansas. I can see Ole Miss winning handily here by 17-20. First road game. I don't like SEC road games by nature. This line opened 12.5. Arkansas is catching some action. Maybe people aren't high on Ole Miss, but it's more of a historic play for me. I just Ole Miss at home against Arkansas. I love the Rebels in this game.
That's 6.5 just scares me. That's all. And
it's down to 6.5. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
So maybe there is something to the Simmons injury, but from what I saw, I think they're just going to be able to physically dominate Arkansas, and we'll see if that's the case or not. But this is just a game that I'm all over Ole Miss here. I see that the Utah-Wyoming game, which is kind of an interesting place to go out in the middle of nowhere, is another game where the home team is getting just a slew of points. I think 23.5 was the last line I saw. And I know Utah's really good, and I have a lot of respect for them, but Wyoming is kind of a weird place to go. I'm always attracted to major home dogs that I think are decent teams. I don't know if Wyoming is really that competitive, but that's one that I just kind of saw glancing at the.
They beat Akron 10-0. By the way, I'm just letting you know, only because they're going to have a common opponent with UAB, so we'll get an idea of just how good they are. But they beat an Akron squad 10-0 in the game. So offensively speaking, just be careful.
I'm just taking points because it's a home dog getting more than 3 touchdowns, and I don't know what Utah's really proven so far yet. They won big in their opener, and they'll probably kill them. But I'm always attracted to those big home dog totals. Just like Kai was talking about Oregon, I think a 9 o'clock East, a 9 o'clock Pacific game with Oregon traveling across the country, and the home team they're getting 26 or 27. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see the Wildcats be a pain in the ass for Oregon. Oregon, some of their trips west to east last year were not that impressive. I mentioned the Wisconsin game earlier. I think maybe they're more prone to having problems adjusting than it's documented. The other game that I'm going to, this is an obscure one too, but it's kind of a historical thing. Minnesota is always a team that's pretty good at home, that's competitive at home. When they go on the road, to me, they just stink. I don't know really a lot about their personnel. I know they've got two really good running backs. They go to Cal, and Cal last year at times was a pretty competitive team. They're a home dog, and that's only like 1.5, but it's just a hunch play for me, but I'm taking the Golden Bears to win outright against Minnesota.
With the futures bet on Utah. What's that?
Don't bet against Utah.
Yeah, don't bet. He's saying don't bet against Utah. With my futures bet on the over 7.5 for South Carolina, I love that South Carolina game. I love it minus the 3. I'm probably just going to leave it alone. A victory will put me a little bit closer to that futures bet anyway. But there are 3 different sides and totals I love this week. I think Georgia has been bitterly coy. They haven't played anybody. And they were like, they only gave up 6 points to Austin Peay. Austin Peay sucks, blah, blah, blah. This is Georgia's Kirby Smart. He's won a national title. He knows what he's doing. He hasn't shown absolutely anything. And I think this is Gunnar Stockton's come-out party. I'm not saying he's going to go 17 to 20 for 500 yards, but I do think he looks a little more prolific than what he is. He's playing for an SEC squad that just won the SEC. I think he's a really good quarterback. He's a 5-star guy that came out of high school. I expect him to play like that at Tennessee. They've won 8 games in a row. They won by an aggregate of 34-14 the last 4 games. He has owned him. Kirby Smart has owned Josh Heupel. I think he's going to own it again. I love them minus the 4. I'll go as high as 5 on this game because I think they win by a touchdown. Also, the last 6 times these two teams have played, halftime score has gone over 30 points. You're only going over 24.5 in the second game. For some reason, Tennessee doesn't score a lot, but Georgia does. I do like the over 24.5 in the Georgia-Tennessee in the first half of the game. And then KC Killer, you know, those Philadelphia Eagles are celebrating – their big old national title. Temple has not gotten an opportunity to do that in a long, long time. But they're playing some of the finest football they ever played. They're 2-0 for the first time in like 19 years. KC Keeler's got this team believing. And now all of a sudden they're playing this Oklahoma squad that last year was 1-for-12 in third down conversion rates. They also rank 114th in turning the ball over. If I'm going to take a team plus 23.5, and I'm going to say they're going to win outright, they're going to have to win the turnover battle. And, of course, Temple has turned every team they played over 4 times this year. They love to stab the ball, kill the ball. They're going to have to do it against Oklahoma. I like those Temple Owls, not only plus a 23.5, but I like them to win outright at home. They lost by 48 last year. 48 points to Oklahoma. This is that game to Oklahoma. They're looking ahead. They're thinking Temple Owls, come on. I think Temple keeps it close, and I think they got an outside shot to win the money line. That's what I'm going with. Case, what do you got?
Well, I agree with a lot of what you've brought up, because for better or worse, we'll see how this goes. I like every ugly underdog on the card this week. I just have all these lines is way too high. So I agree with a lot of what Kip said. You know, maybe there's nothing to it, but the scoring environment's been way down in college football. I guess I'm going against Kai because I love Wyoming too. Maybe not now. I bet plus 24.5, but you know, any statistical study, do you know what comes out as the biggest home field advantage in college football? War Memorial Stadium in Wyoming, because it's at the highest elevation.
Yeah, wow.
Impossible to get to. Year after year, they've performed so much better at home than they have on the road. And actually, that Akron game, I know it was only 10-0, but you look at the stats, they outgained them, I think, by like 2.5 yards per play, which is massive. They just had some like the follies that didn't make any sense. They crushed Northern Iowa last week. Northern Iowa, one of the better teams in FCS. I love Utah too. I think if I had to pick one team to win the Big 12 right now, it'd probably be Utah, but that's just a tough place to play. I feel like it's kind of a sell high. I mean, a couple weeks ago, this line's probably like 17, and I don't think Wyoming's done anything wrong. So 23.5 is a little bit tougher, but I did take Wyoming. Like I said, every ugly dog I'm on Temple plus 25 with you, but I don't think they're winning outright. I think, I love that you called it. I love that's a bold proclamation, but yeah, I think
quarterback is good too. I'm telling you right now, this Evan Simon kid, he's got 9 touchdowns and 0 picks. Right now he ranks 3rd in college football in quarterback efficiency. He's pretty good. And there's this guy named Jay Ducker. Look out for him. He's averaging 8 yards per carry. He's really good too. They can keep the ball on the ground and not make any mistakes, they're going to win this football game.
Yeah, and Keeler is going to be a major conference coach in no time. I do think very highly of him. I did bet Cal with Kipps, not one of my stronger opinions because Minnesota has them outgunned at like almost every position. But I think I talked about him one other time on the show. But the kid Cal has playing quarterback, I think Sagapultelli or whatever, who he was going to go to Oregon. Obviously, they were going to give the job to Dante Moore, so he went to Cal. I mean, this guy, he's going to get like $5 million from some Big Ten or SEC school this offseason. So if you might want to watch this game, it's quarterback versus the whole team. But I think Cal has the better quarterback there. I said ugly dogs are the theme of the week, so I feel like I've talked about a lot of them, but I'll throw a couple more that I played. This will surprise people because I've been Mr. USC, and I feel like I've been
the right so far.
They have the best offense in the nation by just about any measure. They played absolutely no one, though. I think this is going to be tough. They did not do well going east last year. Barry Odom, I think so highly of after seeing him up close at UNLV. He's a really strong defensive mind. I feel like USC is going to have a little bit more resistance this week. So I played Purdue plus 21.5. Another one that leapt off the page, but this is looking like adverse selection now because it's really, really moving against me. This is another one. Some of these small schools, I worry there's injuries I don't know about, but I can't believe Texas State is getting 17.5 at Arizona State. They outplayed them last year. They should have won the game. They lost by like two. I know they lost a lot of guys on the portal, but they have a great freshman quarterback too, Brad Jackson, who's probably going to get poached from somewhere. He's been awesome so far. I was searching this morning to see if he's hurt or something because I was shocked. To be frank, I bet plus 15.5. I woke up this morning at 17.5. If you go back to last year's game, I think Arizona State recovered like all three fumbles and won by a field goal. I don't know how you get to 17.5 now at Arizona State. But again, maybe tread lightly with some of these because I'm not used to the market moving so strongly against me. And clearly someone out there really likes Arizona State.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Thanks to Coastal Sports Digital Network for having us on. Man, we could do this show for like 3 or 4 more hours and never repeat the same thing, which I love. And I love working with you guys. We got to get the NFL, though. We got some big ball games going on here and only about 10 minutes to get into it. Case, I'm going to stay with you. Let's start with your Chargers Raiders since you got the inside story. You're catching 3 at home. I always want you to give me a play on those Raiders and whoever they're playing. And then give me about 2 or 3 other strong players. You got the National Football League. We'll go around the horn. Go.
I'm a little worried Brock Bowers isn't going to play. He didn't practice yesterday. They said he's pushing to play, but I don't know. It's hard for me to get a handle on the new staff and how upfront or guarded they are about injury stuff, but it's kind of a red flag to me he didn't practice yesterday. All that being said, I still just can't get the Raiders to this big of an underdog here against the Chargers. I know a lot of times people say the Raiders don't have home field advantage because they don't have a lot of their own fans. This is one case where, I mean, the Chargers don't usually bring anyone. I think the place is going to be rocking after the Raiders starting 1-0 with Pete Carroll as their coach. I was down on the Chargers before last week, and I was down on the Chiefs too, so I don't put a whole lot into them beating the Chiefs in Brazil, especially at 3.5. I like the Raiders there on Monday Night Football. I feel like I'm going over the same things as on Tuesday, but I also said on coming out on Tuesday, I really like the Falcons. I bet 5.5 at Minnesota. They're just such a train wreck. They had absolutely no business losing the Buccaneers game last week. I feel like that's been glossed over, but that's just what the Falcons do. They find a way to lose, but Penix looked incredible. I feel like people need to get eyes
he's on, really good.
On how good he's looked. And they could still collapse and cover here if you get above 3. So I like Atlanta. I guess I'm just going with all these ones that have kind of moved against me, but I'm kind of surprised at how much respect the Jets are getting out of that one great performance against the Steelers, and they did look good. They deserve to win the game, if not for a 60-yard field goal, but I don't know. I mean, the Bills obviously come back and beat the Ravens. Coming into the season, this line I think was around 7.5, 8. To be on the other side of 7 now, I bet Buffalo -6.5. And when it didn't move, I had to bet that again. So laying points on the road, tough. But I need to see it at least one more week to actually believe that this Jets offense with Justin Fields, who typically can't complete a forward pass, is really taking that big of a step up.
Kai, give me some NFL.
I mean, I'm going to go with Mr. Fumble. And stick with Baltimore. I just think that Cleveland's going to run into it when they get there. You know, looking at some of these line moves, it just really, you know, makes no sense to me. I'm going to go with Indiana Jones as well. Daniel Jones just woke up Indiana's offense. And then also, I mean, go back to what he was just talking about there with Buffalo. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 4 touchdowns against you, what in the world is Josh Allen going to do to you? We saw what he did to Mr. Fumble in Baltimore. I was kind of impressed with that. And call me crazy, I think Dallas covers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll start right there too. I like the Dallas Cowboys too. I got a -4.5. I think it's good. I like the Chiefs catching 1.5 at home. I don't, you know, listen, for whatever reason, it's still hard to go against them. They win ball games. They win them ugly, but you're catching 1.5. Come on. It's the Chiefs. You're at home. I don't care about Philadelphia. They just got a big victory. They're another team that barely wins football games. I'm liking the Texans to bounce back and give up 2.5 against the Bucs, who got the big victory last week. And Miami had a players-only meeting this past week. I don't know what the hell that means, but they're bringing in New England. They're only giving up 2, 2.5, maybe 1.5 at some spots. Case probably got a better number on that. Something tells Miami bounces back and gets a victory at home this weekend. So those are the 4 games I'm going with. Kip, who do you like in the National Football League?
Well, I'm going to make it three because I thought there was some things to like about Dallas's effort in the opener at Philadelphia. Philadelphia just got better players, but I thought Dallas acquitted themselves pretty well, and now they're back home against the Giants, who I just think are god awful. We saw the Commanders are not really ready for prime time last night. I mean, they showed some fight and tried to stay in the game, but. You know, the Commanders beat the Giants 21-9. That was kind of a listless performance in retrospect. But I just don't think this Giants team has much to hang their hat on. I think the Cowboys minus the 4.5 or 5 at home, I think they are in position to blow the Giants away. And my other one, last week I took the Texans against the Rams because I just have questions about this Rams offense, the quarterback situation. I don't know what kind of shape Stafford's in. I missed by a point or so. A cover, I think, was 14-9. They erupted for 14 points in their home opener. So that's not very impressive. Now they go to Nashville and play the Titans. The Titans, of course, a work in progress, but it's another home team catching, I think, 5.5 at home, and I don't think the Rams should be giving anybody on the road 5.5. Give me the Tennessee Titans to break through and win at home.
You know, you talk about that Washington squad, too, in case you can pound on this really quick. You see this in the National Football League every single time there's a dual guy comes in, whether it's Cam Newton, whether it's Baker Mayfield, these guys that got the wheels, they come in year one, and I always say they can't read defenses as though they're running for their life. And so they're running for these third 19s and getting first downs. They're making all these plays with their wheels like Jaden Daniels did last year. Now other teams are starting to figure out what this quarterback does, how they do it. They come in there for their sophomore year, and they have that typical sophomore slump, and all of a sudden everyone's figured them out. That's what Jaden Daniels looked like last night.
Yeah, 7 carries for 17 yards for Daniels last night.
Yeah, it's like everyone knows where he's going. He ain't running for his life anymore, and he's holding on to the football just a tad longer. He's trying to make the pass, and he's not running for his life. So no more broken plays for him, and now defenses are figuring him out. All right, let's get into some Major League Baseball. It has gotten really interesting. My Cincinnati Reds, San Francisco Giants, only a game and a half out, thanks to those fine Mets who are falling apart now, about 14 or 15 games left. I love that.
Is that the worst four-game series in baseball history? Did they even go to Philadelphia, or did they just the Phillies go out and play inter-squad games? I have never seen such a blowout four-game series in years.
Like they don't want it. And then, of course, on the other side, the senior league, we got the Tennessee Texans. We've got those Texas squad Rangers who are playing some pretty good ball, only 2 games out in the wild card. Kai, what you liking so far with 2 weeks left? At least we got something to watch here.
About Philly and the White Sox with the 2 best records in baseball over the last 10 games, 8-2. And you know that the Yankees, who, you know, we talked about Tuesday having the easiest schedule coming up, are like, wait, we've got the hottest team in baseball twice. Now that may be because of who Chicago played, but still. I don't know. Baseball, I mean, I will say this. Unfortunately, you know, Roman getting hurt kind of screwed my Red Sox. They miss him so bad, it's unbelievable. But I do think that this weekend Pittsburgh finally gets eliminated from the playoffs, becomes the 3rd team eliminated from the playoffs.
I'll say this, and you said it before we even started the show. And listen, when you're playing baseball and you're trying to build up your coffers before the football season, I get that. It's really hard to really get steeped into Major League Baseball right now because there's so much to look at, college, professional football. But the lines have gotten so screwy. They're so weird. Even the Skeens line going to $1.55 the other night, he loses 2-1. Every line all year has been $1.15, $1.20. He's been winning baseball games, and all of a sudden people are getting smart, and then he loses. It's baseball gets really difficult like the last 2 weeks of the year because you don't know who's sitting. You don't know pitch counts. You don't know who's really wanting to play. There's guys that have already got their locker room flipping. They're loaded up. They're ready to go. Alec Greco used to always talk about in the National Football League, man, the trucks be backed up the last game of the year. The trucks be backed up the U-Hauls to the locker room before the game kicked off, knowing that they were all going on summer vacation for a month and a half and didn't have to do shit before the next season started. And coaches like Dick LeBeau and I'm trying to think of some of the other coaches, the Cincinnati Bengals, had it, but to piss them off, they're like, your ass is still mine for the next day. We're playing football, so move those damn trucks. But you don't know what's happening in Major League Baseball, so if you can get some people to pick some ball games, go for it. But it should be fun to watch the next couple of weeks. And then, of course, get ready for the playoffs right now. Toronto Blue Jays, Detroit Tigers, Seattle Mariners, the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Dodgers. It looks like it's going to be a great postseason and a great October for Major League Baseball fans. So great stuff. Anything else you guys want to add before we wrap it up? We do the show every Tuesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Central Time. We'd love to do some more shows. We're working on that, by the way. And, of course, you go to k4wins.com, k4wins.com for all of our plays. If you don't want to listen to the entire show, you should. But if you want to listen to the entire show, you go to k4wins.com, k4wins.com. You get all of our plays. And, of course, we update that every single day. Anything else you guys want to add?
I just want to say on the Commanders thing, I mean, I could be wrong, but I interpreted last night a little bit differently than I think you guys, sounds like you did and a lot of people. I just think it was way more about the Packers than the Commanders. I think the Packers just, this team looks scary. I'm still super high on Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't be selling any of my Jaden Daniels stock. I just think, man, the Packers, especially receiver, they scare me a little bit, but Jordan Love looks amazing. Sometimes I think he should have had an even better game, but man, the Packers look frighteningly good here early in the season.
What's the Super Bowl odds on them right now? I mean, I know it changed a little bit.
That's
with the
a good question, since it just updated after last night. I would think it should be like in the 8-1 range. Honestly, that might sound aggressive considering it was as high as 14 a couple weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, to me. They look like the most complete team in the NFC right now.
Because we have to emphasize how they just dismantled the Lions in opening week. That was impressive.
It was.
That's a team that was really good last year, and the Packers made them look amateurish.
Plus 750 at Circa. So, unfortunately, they've already been bought a lot, but they look awful good.
Yeah, and then, of course, you got the Lions giving up that 6.5 to the Bears again this weekend. The Bears didn't look like anything special, so you're kind of like, is this Detroit Lions squad a little hungover from last year? They won all those football games. Should be interesting. All right, go to k4wins.com. Of course, we're available on our Facebook page, K4Winners on X, and, of course, you can also email us. And, of course, across the Tony Curry Radio Network of radio stations, I'm all over the place, so check out Tony Curry Radio, and you can find all of our material right here with Corey, K4Wins, K4Wins. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.